Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, in the English Standard Version, that was the King James Version, in the English Standard Version, it reads as follows. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I want to minister today on the topic, the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, first the Jew and also to the Gentile. And in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We welcome those who are watching online right now, that the Lord will minister to you from this incredibly important topic, if not the most important subject that we could teach upon, which is the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. We're going to read a lot of scriptures today. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9 in the King James Version says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So Paul is writing to the Galatian church and saying, I'm amazed. OMG, guys. I've just been preaching to you the gospel, and now you've gone to another one. Another gospel that I did not preach to you. It says, but which is not another, but there are some, there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There are people who are coming to your churches and they are giving you problems because they are perverting the gospel of Christ that I delivered to you. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Yeah, it's in the New Testament. Paul is saying, even if I come back to you and preach another gospel, I am saying I am going to come under the curse I have just declared. Even if an angel comes, a dream, a vision, a prophecy, a prophet, an apostle, a bishop comes and preaches any other gospel, he says they're going to come under the judgment and the curse of God. That's strong words. And he said, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. In case you missed me the first time, I said it and I'm saying it again. As an apostle, this is Paul writing to the Galatian church. He says, if anybody brings any other gospel, let him be accursed. Today, there are many gospels. There are many gospels. There are many messages that people are preaching and calling it the gospel. But there's only one true gospel of Christ. There's only one true good news regarding Jesus Christ. And this is the only gospel that is backed up by the Holy Spirit. It is the very power of God that causes true salvation. Any other gospel cannot bring people to true salvation that causes a total life transformation. There are many gospels out there. In some places, the gospel is about self-improvement. And so people think that coming to Jesus is just about, I just want to tweak my life here and there. There are some things I want to be a little bit better. So let me come to Jesus so that he can just help me here. And I don't need a lot of help. I'm okay. I'm good. But there are just some areas from time to time I just need a touch up. There's a gospel like that. And yet the Bible tells us contrary, that this gospel is not about a touch up. It's about a total life change from the inside to the outside. It's a radical revolution that changes your life absolutely. That comes from an understanding that without Jesus, we are hopeless, we are helpless, we are directionless. I don't care what you have in material terms, what you have going for you. Without Jesus, it's all nothing. So there's a gospel out there that thinks that I go to church when I've got a few problems. When things are not going right, you know, I just need someone to pray. And I'll be sharp. And then when I'm sharp, I'm gone. There's a gospel like that. There's a gospel that says, the reason why I'm serving the Lord is so that I can make money. I want money. So I'm going to go where I can make money. And so the reason why they're coming to Jesus is because they make money. Or they want to make money. But their life is full of sin. And their life is wrecked. But to them, the gospel is, I want money. I want to succeed. So I'm going to believe that part of the gospel that speaks to my money situation. There are many gospels. There are gospels where men are exalted above the word of God. Where people worship the preacher. Where people preach their church as the only church to go to. It's a gospel. Unless you follow this man of God, unless you stay in this church, you are going to hell. It's a gospel. There are many gospels out there, and you can mention some of your own. The problem with all these gospels is that none of them is able to save. None of them is able to do what Jesus intended. So some people, their gospel is, so long as my stomach is full, I'll be a sharp. So I'm coming to Jesus because I want food. I want bread on my table. I want my needs to be met. So the gospel to them is, I want to be in the place where I can be assured that I'm going to have what I want in life. And you can go on. So we have to come back to refresh our minds and maybe teach on what is the gospel of Christ. Amazingly enough, we don't hear enough about it because it doesn't get a lot of likes on social media. The gospel does not get a lot of followers. But when one is sensational, when someone is tickling people's ears, then there's a lot of followers and a lot of likes. When people are selling as the primary thing, your needs being met, people are going to be there in their numbers. If they say you're going to get a prophecy, they're there. But they're not coming because they want Jesus. They're coming because now they know they can't go to a sangoma. So they're going to go to a prophet. So that the prophet can tell them what's going on in their life. Who bewitched me? And why am I facing what I'm facing? But they want nothing to do with Jesus. But it so happens that they're in an environment where Jesus is mentioned. But they're not there for Jesus. They're there because they have just cut and paste a sangoma with the prophet. So people come to the house of the Lord for many different things. If you promise them miracles. Now miracles are something God wants for us. But the gospel itself is not miracles. The gospel itself, we're going to get into what it is. It has a side product and additional benefits and signs and wonders of miracles and healings and answers from God and divine intervention. But that is not the main event. The main event is Jesus. Can I hear a loud amen? You start preaching Jesus, people begin to disconnect. Because they're not interested in Jesus. They're interested in what Jesus says he can do for them. And the gospel is about Jesus himself. So there are a lot of people who might think that they are born again because they are among those who are following Jesus. But today is the time to check yourself and ask yourself, do I believe the gospel? Or am I following along with those that do believe the gospel? So what is the gospel? Let's get into it. Number one, the gospel is that, it starts with a negative note, that we are all dead in sin. We're all dead in sin. Romans 3, verse 23 to 26. Romans 3, in the English Standard Version, verse 23 to 26. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the gospel begins with the fact that all have sinned and all have fallen short, hopelessly so, of the glory of God. And not only that, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 6 says, but God, being rich in mercy, we're still in the ESV, God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the Bible tells us not only have all sinned, but we were all dead in trespasses and sin. So it's not about a little improvement here and there. It's not about a little polishing up here and there. It's not about a little support or a little help here and there. Our problem was we were dead. We were dead. Dead to God. Dead to eternal life. Dead to the things of God. That's why, if you really want to bore a person that's not born again, talk about Jesus. And the reason why they're bored is because they're dead. They don't get it. Our problem is that we were dead. Not just poor, not just sick, not just oppressed, not just in need, not just lost, not just without purpose, not just without direction. We were dead. Our number one problem was life. We didn't have life. That's why you can preach to a sinner and you might as well be talking to a chair. When I'm talking about teaching, they'll be. Because if you bring a corpse in front of somebody, I don't care how many things you say to try to stir them up, that corpse will just lie there dead. It has no life. And there's nothing you can do to get it to respond to anything until there is life. Once there is life, then you can feed it. Then you can give it water. Then you can talk. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so the problem we had was that we were dead in trespasses and in our sins. So this is what the gospel came to resolve. It came to resolve a problem of a lack of life. A lack of life. So that number two, Jesus paid for our sins and its penalty. We're talking about the gospel of Christ. Jesus paid for our sin and its penalty. The wages of sin is death. So Jesus died so we might have life. So until you have life, you don't have anything. Don't care if it's a car, don't care if it's a house, I don't care if it's billions of rands, I don't care if it's a marriage, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's 2 million followers on social. If you don't have life, what is it worth? It's worth absolutely nothing. So the issue is life. So Jesus came that we might have life. So John chapter 10 verse 10 says, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life. Leave heaven for now. Heaven is guaranteed. We're talking about here and now. Once you have life, it's eternal. If it's eternal life, it won't die. This body may die, but you won't die. And those who are alive with eternal life will go to where the living are. And the people who are alive are in heaven, and the rest are here on the earth. Those who have no life and they die are dead twice, because they're already dead spiritually, and then they will die physically, and they'll go to where the dead go. And the dead are dead among the dead, but they're not among the living. And the living go to eternal life. They go to heaven. They're absent from the body, and they're present with the Lord. That's why when a believer goes to be with the Lord, we don't mourn like an unbeliever. We are mourning twice when a person is not saved and they die. We're mourning that they were already dead. Some of them may bury themselves in their cars, bury themselves with their expensive ½ a million rand caskets. They can do all that stuff. But what's the point? It's dead. And now the person is dead physically. That's when we really cry. Because now that person's eternally dead, separated from God forever and forever, because they lost their opportunity, they rejected the opportunity to receive life while they were alive. They died in their sin. They died without Christ. Even if they're in church, they died without being born again, and they go to the other place. I know that in funerals, we like to take everybody to heaven. But come on, guys, not everybody is going. Some people are going to the other place. But because we want to be nice and comfort the family, we'll say nice things. But whatever has happened, you can't change it. You can't change it. So Jesus paid for our sins. Is Isaiah 53, verse 10 and 11. This is the gospel of Christ. Let me say this. God does not just forgive sins. It doesn't work that way. God loves you, God loves me, but when it comes to our sins, God didn't just forgive them. Say, you know, okay, it's all right, it's okay, just, I'm good, you know, yeah, it's okay, it's my grace, just go. No, God doesn't work that way. The way it works is like this. God has said a word and a principle and praise, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So there are consequences for sin. So when we sin, even as believers, and when we sin, there's a consequence for that, and that consequence is death. Someone must pay for that. So Jesus came so that he can reveal the righteousness of God, that God is so good that he would send Jesus to take the penalty of your sin and mine by allowing God to punish him and him going to death, hell, and the grave. Yes, he did. During those days when he was in the grave, he went to hell for you. So that the sin that we have committed can be paid for. When it is paid for, then as far as you and I are concerned, we are forgiven. So God doesn't just forgive. Someone must pay for the sin. And Jesus came, hallelujah, glory to God, and said, I will be that Lamb of God. I'll be the propitiation for the sins of the world. Put it on me, God. I will go to hell. I will die. I will lose my life. I will taste death. I will taste hell for every human being that believes on me, so that you can forgive them, because I paid for it. Someone say, thank you, Jesus, for paying for my sin. Come on, that's a good place to give God praise. Am I talking to believers in the house? Isaiah 53, that's where we are, 10 and 11. Yet it was the will of God to crush him. It was the will of God to crush him. When his soul makes an offering for grief, to grief. He has put him to grief. Okay, he has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, our guilt. His soul was the offering for our guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. This is why we praise him and worship him. And we can never stop praising him and worshiping him just for this, that he took our iniquities, he took our judgment, he took our guilt, he took our sin upon himself, paid the penalty, so that you and I, God can say, you are forgiven. Wow. Number three, gospel means we are justified by faith. That is in opposition to the works of the law. Romans 5, verse 1 to 3. Romans 5, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to make a comment here so that we're tracking, because sometimes these words just fly around us and we haven't had someone to break them down. We get this word called justified. Well, what in the world is that? Well, justified means justice has been done. And I just explained how justice was done. So Jesus paid the price for us so that justice can be done for the penalty of our sin. And therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace now, oh glory to God, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Someone say, justice has been done. Glory to God. And so this is how the gospel works in our lives, and it's by grace. It's not by works, it's by faith. We did not pay this price. Jesus did it. And so when we put our faith in him, we receive what he provided for us. Is that making sense to us? Amen. I'm making this as simple as we can, beloved, because we're living in a day when people don't understand the gospel. We're living in a day when people don't hear the gospel. And that should never be the case. And maybe for some of us, we've assumed that people know the gospel because we grew up under the gospel, and we believe the gospel, we understood the gospel, and so we make an assumption that everybody knows what we know, but they don't. And we don't want to make that mistake, that people could come even to the house of the Lord and not hear the gospel and not have an opportunity to believe the gospel and to be saved and so forth. So we are justified by faith. Someone say, I'm justified by faith. Okay, so my faith in Jesus Christ makes me justified. In other words, justice has now been done. I'm no longer going to answer for my sins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's not going to ask me why I did it. He's not going to put it to my account. Those sins have been obliterated by the blood of Jesus, as it were. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so now we are justified. Justice has been done. We are clear. If I can give an illustration just to simplify it a little bit further. Let us say that somebody was caught as a thief. Okay? And they were arrested by the police. All right. Now, as a thief and they're arrested, they broke the law. Now, they broke the law, which means that they must go to court and they must face charges, they must be prosecuted, they must be charged, and they must pay a penalty of some kind. Maybe it's a prison sentence, even if it's 2 years, okay? Or maybe it's a fine, 500,000 rands, whatever fine it is. Okay, so here's this person in jail, and then he's definitely a thief, he's caught in the act, he has no way to come out clean out of this. He's going to go to jail, or he's going to pay that fine. And then somebody else comes and says, you know what, can I see that case number? Okay, the police give him the case number. This is prisoner such and such. They're about to stand trial on Tuesday. These are the charges against them. And then that person says, let me do this. Can you put me in jail instead? And those charges, write my name there. Now, I don't even know if that's possible in a normal legal system, but let's say it was, because it is possible in the spirit. And then the man said, well, are you sure about this? You didn't do anything. I said, I know, my records are clean. I've never stolen anything from anybody, but I'm asking you as the police, and I'll go to court if I need to, and please put my name instead of this person's name. Let this person go free. Now, that person goes into that cell. The one that was the real criminal comes out of the cell and goes free. Now, this person is going to go to court. They're going to be charged, prosecuted. They're going to be convicted. They're going to be serving the 2-year sentence, whatever the case might be. And when they finish the 2-year sentence, the debt is paid. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The crime has been, you know, paid for. They come out of jail, all right? Now, in the meantime, the one that was supposed to be in jail is going around free. The police are not looking for them. There's no warrant for his arrest because they've arrested somebody else who has decided to take their place. This is what Jesus did. So he took our place so that he could be charged as guilty. He can die the death. Watch this. And he can go to to pay the penalty, and in Hades or in hell, he paid the sentence in full. And when he had paid the sentence in full, it's appointed for men to die once and then the judgment. So he went down to hell and he paid the penalty in full. He rose up from the grave, came out of jail, to show that the price has been paid in full. You can go with a free conscience, hallelujah. You can go free and rejoicing. Go and sin no more. Glory to God. Don't keep on sinning, because every time you do that, he has to go back to jail. And you crucify him afresh. And now he has to shed more blood. So we never take it lightly that we sin even after we're born again, because it must be paid for. And so it's not a free ride to say, well, let us sin that grace may abound. We are now no longer under law. We are under grace. There's no sin anymore. Everybody is free to do whatever. No, 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 no. Every sin must be paid for. And the Bible says if we sin, then we confess our sins, but he's faithful, glory to God, and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Why? Because at the right hand of God, his blood is still there. But every time we sin, he has to release more blood. He has to bleed again and put fresh blood on the mercy, his blood, on the mercy seat. So that God would not come to us and charge us when, amen, even after we're born again. And that's why we, amen, live that life that pleases God, because we don't want to cause Jesus pain. Can I hear you loud? Amen. Oh, yes. So the gospel is number four. We have been made the righteousness of God by grace. We have been made the righteousness of God by grace. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 21. In the English Standard Version. For our sakes, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Glory to God. So now righteousness is not the same as forgiveness. Okay? Forgiveness means the slate is wiped clean. Zero sin. Righteousness is something given to us on top of that. Not just righteousness, but the righteousness of God. So not only are we now forgiven of our sin, help me, Holy Spirit, but now we have been given the righteousness that Jesus has. Woo! That's powerful now. And this is a gift of righteousness, right standing before God, amen, and so forth. So, we have been made the righteousness of God by His grace. We're talking about the gospel of Christ. Someone say, I'm righteous. So we don't work for holiness. No. We have been made holy. We believe we are holy, and we act the way we believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We believe we are righteous, and we act based on what we believe. Someone say, I am righteous. Therefore, I live righteously. See, if you really believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you truly, truly believe that, then it's going to change how you see yourself, how you make decisions. Are you following what I'm saying? If you truly believe that, it will change your behavior. The reason why we do slip into sin is because the enemy gets the advantage of us, puts us into the flesh, and we start seeing things by the flesh now, and we forget, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then we go back to, no, I'm just a human being. I'm only human. No, you're not. Stop it. Don't give the devil room. You are not only human. Then what did Jesus do? If you're only human, that leaves you the same as a sinner. A sinner is only human. No, there's something that God has given to you, and that is the righteousness of God, and you are born again. You have a new nature now. You're a new creation now. Old things are passed away. Old things have become new. You are not just a human being. That's when the devil is setting you up to take advantage of your flesh to make you sin. When people say that, it's because already they're positioned to sin. I'm only human. Oh, okay. The next thing is sin. You've already given room. Because you're saying, how can you expect more from a human being? I'm only human. I want to do what humans do. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone say that I'm born again. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. Old things have become new. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Someone say, I'm more than human. I'm a child of God. Doesn't mean you're no longer human, but you are more than human.
There's Godness now on the inside of you. In this human vessel, there's God living now inside. He's a resident in this human being. Oh yeah, there are human aspects of me, but they are overpowered by the divine aspects of me when those human aspects are taking me to sin. So that's a whole nother teaching right there. But we're talking about the gospel of Christ. So you're not just washed. You're not just cleansed. We're not just forgiven. A miracle has taken place in our lives. And that is that we have been given eternal life. Glory to God. Let's go to John chapter 3, verse 6 to 8. John chapter 3, verse 6 to 8. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Okay, let's comment on that quickly. Verse 7, okay, yeah. That which is born naturally is natural. There's natural man, natural birth. But then there's that which is born of the spirit, which is a spiritual birth. So there's a natural birth and there's a spiritual birth. Verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Obviously, he's talking about a spiritual birth. You're already born naturally, but now you must be born spiritually. Verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes, you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So Jesus died so that we might be born again and receive in that new birth, help me, Holy Spirit, eternal life. Let me talk about this eternal life. This eternal life is the life we talked about at the beginning that we did not have. This life is the life of God Himself. This is God's life. God's life. This is the life of Christ. This is the life of Jesus. That now we receive Jesus Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive His life. Glory to God. It's eternal life. It's the God kind of life. This God kind of life has different desires, aspirations, inclinations to your natural life. And so this is what it means to be born again. And that this is not something we do. This is something the Holy Spirit does when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us eternal life. Now you've got a new life on the inside of you. Not the life that you used to have. That life is dead. Now you have a new life, and this new life comes with new desires. This new life comes with the nature of God, and so it wants to please God. It wants to serve God. It wants to worship the Lord. It wants to love God. This is a new life. No one can make you love God. You need a new life. You need a new life. And Jesus came that we might have this life. I'm preaching this because I'm not assuming that everybody that comes into the house of the Lord is born again. And I don't want my hands to have blood on them, that people will come to this church and not hear the gospel, and I never preached it, and so their blood is on my hands. Someone say, you must be born again. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have a situation in the body of Christ today that we've got too many people in the church who are not born again. Don't look at anybody. Just look straight ahead. There are preachers who are not born again. Professionals who studied for it like for accounting. But it doesn't mean they're born again. Did you know that Charles Wesley, who started a Methodist church, this is during the Reformation, hundreds of years ago, Charles Wesley was one of the, he started the Wesleyan church, the Methodist church. He preached for, I believe, 15 years, and people were getting born again, but he wasn't born again. Tell you, look at your neighbor and say, You see, God will confirm his word. Doesn't matter who preaches it. Even a person who's going to split hell wide open. If they preach the word, God will save people because he'll back up the gospel. People be saved, but the preacher will go to hell. There are preachers in hell, Lord. Let alone elders and deacons. Yeah. Let alone worship leaders and... Hey, there was a case here years ago. A young man who was in the music ministry. We prayed for him because... It's a long story. I'll make it shorter. They were on the way with the music team. And they were going to Nelspruit. And they were going to sing there and minister, quote-unquote, there. And the whole band, the music team, they had a terrible, terrible accident, the whole combi. And it was a tragic, tragic accident. And he says the story now, what happened. The only reason why he lived out of all the people that died, he said that there was a twig the size of a finger that was holding up the combi at the precipice, and he was under the combi. Had that twig broken, he would have been crushed and died on the spot. But he said that in that time, he was in a coma. They found him there, took him to the Nelspruit Hospital. He was, every bone in his body was broken. We were told by the sister, she told the prophet, and we were praying here. When she told us, said, my brother is in hospital, critical condition. The doctors don't even know where to start. Everything in his body is broken from his skull to his toes. And please pray. The prophet prayed. And I remember that prayer because it was like an Ezekiel prayer about bones and coming together. The doctor said, we just have to leave him because if we cut anything, we're just going to make it worse. So, by the miracle of God, 2 days, was it the 2 days later or a day later, they took him again under x-ray and they couldn't believe their eyes because every bone in his body was healed. He was now out of the coma. But he lived to tell the story. He said, while I was in that coma, it was like I was going down a tube, and this tube was like greasy with oil. You just slide down. And he said all the people in the combi were going down. Shoo, 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 down, down. No one was going up. Everyone was going down. And I was the only one. Somehow I was gripping on the walls of this tube, and he realized it's the prayers of my sister and the prayers of the woman of God and the saints of God. I did not go down because down there, fire. And there was no stop. It's like a suction. Pew! Pull you right down. And all of them in the music ministry went down to hell. He was the only one. And God gave him an opportunity to be born again. Yeah, he came to church to testify. about what God did in his life. But that was a wake-up call that you can be doing anything in the church and go to hell. Please don't go there. Please be born again. Receive eternal life. Because none of these things we do in church can substitute for the new birth. You've got to, oh, help me, Holy Spirit. You've got to be born again. Hey, if there are preachers down there and prophets and bishops who are frying right now in that devilish bright place, how much more anybody else? Your name must be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then, when we leave this body, we go up. We don't go down. Why do people want to talk to people who are down there, who are frying right now? Why do you want to talk to somebody who's frying down there in the devil's bright place? No, it's my grandmother. It's my grandfather. Oh, what business do you have with the dead? What business do the living have with the dead? How can they help you when they can't come out of where they are? And they cannot help themselves, if indeed you're talking to them. Because that's a whole nother discussion. Because of truth of the matter, you're not talking to them. You're talking with demons who are acting like them. That person's busy in torment in hell if they're not in heaven. They had their chance to be saved. They rejected their chance to be saved. They are now living the consequence of their decisions. You are among the living. You serve the Lord. And you're going to the other place. Can I hear you loud? Amen. So, the Christian life is about Jesus Christ living his life through us. This is deep. This is powerful. Oh, this is so helpful. I wish someone had taught me this early in my Christian life. It was a struggle. Because of the teaching that we had, was just not doing it. And we lived in a sense of guilt, shame, condemnation, because we're told, be holy as he is holy. And Mzaluane must live like this. Mzaluane must live like that. Mzaluane must live like this. And we're like, eish. And look, which Mzaluane is that we're talking about here, living like this? And I wish I'd known what I know now. Because all it was saying was that you've got to try and live this Christian life. Do your best. And yes, of course, we put effort into it. But here's how the Christian life really works. You cannot live the Christian life. Understand that. Only Jesus can live it. The sooner you understand that, the quicker you'll overcome. Nobody can live the Christian life except for Jesus. So what does Jesus do? He says, I know you can't. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to enter into you. And I'm going to live my life through you. That's a good deal. So the Christian life is not about me applying my effort in my strength, in my works, trying to live this life that will please God. No, the Christian life is me recognizing I can't, but I put my faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. I put my faith in Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus, who is able to live his life through me. Listen now. What? If someone slaps you on one cheek, give him the... Are you kidding me? Oh, no, I'm not the Zulu Swazi guy. No, no, no. Wednesday again. What? You're going to slap me and I'm going to give the... I'll show you something, but I ain't giving you no cheek. Okay, I'll give you a five-fold ministry. I'll give you five toes, but I'm not going to. There's no way. Huh? Someone makes him walk 1 mile, walk with him another two. Ah. Aibo. Someone takes your jacket, give him your cloak also. Aibo. Who can do such a thing? Nobody. Except for Jesus. That's when I say, Lord, I can't handle this. Only you can do this. And you're going to help me turn this cheek right now. Because I can't do it. And by the way, that's why the Lord's Prayer is there. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, because some temptations are too much. So Lord, don't let me be tempted beyond what I can handle. Because they will see who I used to be before Jesus came. Oh yeah, oh yeah. They will see real quick. All right, they'll be picking themselves up from somewhere. And they won't be in one piece either. They'll be picking up pieces. But through Jesus, if we allow Him, oh, glory to God, it's so liberating. It's so freeing when you realize God never intended for me to live the Christian life. It's a what? Christian. Christian. Christ life. Who can live a Christ life but Christ? If you receive that, give the Lord a hand of praise. So growing in Christ is all about becoming more and more consistent about that. About allowing Christ to live His life through us instead of us taking the steering wheel and taking charge and trying to do it in our own flesh. Galatians 2:20, we're going to wrap this up. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Oh, I love this scripture. I just love this scripture. This is the most liberating scripture, I tell you, that you'll ever meditate on. I have been crucified with Christ. So when Jesus Christ died, my old nature died. It is no longer I now who is doing the living. I have a new life. The life of Christ. It says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now watch this part, because this is my favorite part of the scripture. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live, oh, you've got to see it in the King James Version, because the King James Version is even sweeter. This one says, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's not wrong. I live it by faith in Jesus. All right, it's not wrong, but the King James Version puts it in an even deeper and more powerful way. It says, the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Meaning what? It means that even the faith that I need to live this life is not coming from me. It's coming from the... Oh, glory to God. I'm living it by His faith. Oh, glory to God. It's His faith that's working in my life. And it's His faith that's living through my life. It is His faith that's enabling me to live His life. Even when my faith is not strong enough, His faith is strong enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In other words, if I just let Jesus take over and do what he does and let his faith do the work, my life will please God. I will align my life to please God. Hallelujah. And God will be glorified. Have you received something this morning? Then stand on your feet and let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. Go ahead, give God a praise. Hallelujah. We're going to continue this. We're going to continue this and talk and teach on the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ, these are foundations. These are essentials. You cannot live a victorious Christian life without these fundamentals. This is the gospel. My question to you is, do you believe the gospel? That's the question. That's all you need to do. I believe the gospel. Now, some of us believed the gospel a long time ago. And you still believe the gospel. This is the gospel. We're still going to continue. There's more to cover. But I've covered enough for you to know whether you're born again or whether you need to be born again. This is not about, I believe God for a car, I believe God for a breakthrough, I believe God for a house. Do you believe the gospel? If you're saying, I believe the gospel, but I realize now that I really need to make it clear for the devil to know that now, today, I'm drawing a line in the sand that my faith is in Jesus. My faith is in Jesus. I am putting my faith in Jesus to be saved. I want to be sure that I'm born again. Wherever you are, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand. God bless you, my sister. God bless you. Lift up your hand. Put up the hand. Don't be ashamed. Someone else is saying, I need to be sure. I want to be sure. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to believe God that Jesus is my Savior. I see another hand back there. Raise it high so I can see it. Glory to God. God bless you. I just want to be sure that no one's just worshiping the Lord. I want to be sure. Anybody, there's a hand back there. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God brought this message just for you. Who else is saying this message was for me? I didn't know. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was okay. But now I see I need to put my faith in Jesus for my salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ from this day. It is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth. And today, I'm making my case clear. I'm taking my position. You online, wherever you are, God sees your hand that you are saying, from this day, I put my faith in Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus to be saved, to be born again. And when I do that, everything else will follow. Everything else will be added unto me in its time and in its season. But the most important thing, I believe the gospel. With those who've raised your hand and those of you who are coming now, please come quickly. Give them a big God bless you. God bless you. Come on, come on. Stand right here. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Come on. Yes. Come on. This is what you came for. This is what you came for. This is what you came for. There's room. There's room. There's space here. Anybody else? And I know if you've been in church a long time, this can be embarrassing. But Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. He says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will deny you. That's some serious words. You want to make this some kind of private thing? No, I'm not that kind of person. You know, I'm a private guy. This is not a private thing. It's a public thing. It's a public thing. So don't be self-conscious about this. Everybody did this. Everybody did this. We all swallowed our pride. We all swallowed our pride. We came publicly and we made a public confession of Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, and we were born again. And we know that Jesus will confess us publicly. He will say, I know this one. I know this one. I'm not ashamed because they were not ashamed of me. So I'm not ashamed of them right now before my Father. I'm giving you an opportunity right now. Come right now. You're saying, I need to rededicate my life. I put my faith in other things. But today I'm rededicating my life. I'm giving my life again to Jesus. Where are you? 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 I know you're here. I know you're there online. Oh, this is so important, my friend. Don't go to the other place. Don't go to the other place. You need to come to Jesus so you can be saved. I'm giving you one more chance. One more chance. One more chance. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I'm putting my faith in Jesus. First and foremost, I want to be born again. I want to be a child of God. I want to serve Jesus. I'm making the decision today. Where are you? All right. Let us make this prayer. Follow me in this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Believe you died for my sin. You were buried and rose again. I confess you now as Lord and Savior. Save me, Lord Jesus. Be my Savior. Today, I confess you as Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that's the beginning of a journey. Now, I wanted to follow. Oh, the elders right behind you. Follow the elder behind you. They're going to tell you what else you need to do. Please follow him. Your journey has begun. Give them a big God bless you. Glory to God. I'd like to encourage you, because I'll be continuing next Sunday on this, the gospel of Christ, that you bring an unsaved person next Sunday. Will you do that, please? Bring somebody to church who needs to hear the gospel. As much as we have social media, we've got so much information, it's amazing how you will not hear the gospel. How you will not hear the gospel. In all that's going on, preachers, teachers, prophets, apostles, and I'm not saying that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, because God's a God of assignment and purpose. Not everybody's an evangelist, but still, we should be hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even pastors, we must do the work of an evangelist. Every preacher must do the work of an evangelist and bring people to Jesus. So next Sunday, I'm asking you, please bring someone to the house of the Lord. Don't listen to this all by yourself. Somebody that you know needs to be saved. Amen. The Lord bless you, keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, rule and reign in every area of your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an incredible week. Leaders, we have a meeting. 5 minutes. Leaders, we have a meeting.